ShareCare is the leading online health and wellness engagement platform, providing millions of consumers with a personal, results-oriented experience by connecting them to the most qualified health resources and programs they need to improve their health. It's time now for ShareCare Radio on RadioMD.com. Here's your host, Dr. Daria.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria. We discussed the Real Age test in our last segment with Dr. Mike Roizen, and now I have the other Real Age test co-creator, Dr. Keith Roach, with us. Today, we're going to discuss second opinions and when to get them. Dr. Roach is the chief medical officer of ShareCare, practices at New York Presbyterian Hospital, and is associate professor at Weill Cornell Medical College. Keith, thank you so much for joining us today.
Daria, it's always a pleasure.
Well, I want to jump right in. Now, getting a second opinion has been in the headlines a lot recently after the news of Rita Wilson's cancer diagnosis was caught after she sought a second opinion. Do you advocate always getting one?
No, I wouldn't say that you want a second opinion always. You do want a second opinion when it's important, which is when a diagnosis is in doubt for very serious diagnoses or for those that have the potential to change your life. Now, you can second-guess yourself all day, but I think that it's worthwhile taking the time to go and find a second opinion when the stakes are really high.
Okay, so for like surgeries or really diseases like cancer, then it's important to do that then?
Certainly those two. I advocate a second opinion most times when my patients are looking at elective cancer. Obviously, if you're in a car crash and they've got to go repair your bleeding artery and you're on your way into the operating room, you don't want to ask to be transferred to the hospital across the street. That wouldn't make any sense. But if you have the time to go and get a second opinion about things, it is often worth your while to do so.
Now, you know, I know it's easy for, in some studies and some, you know, pathology, two different pathologists may interpret it differently. You know, what are the most common tests or screenings that can be read and interpreted differently that patients should know about? Those may be the ones to think about a second opinion.
So those tend to be the ones where there's individual variation. And I think pathology is probably number one. Number two would be radiology images. But it's really pathology that I would stress, because we usually only get biopsies when we're pretty concerned about potential problems that go along with that. And because there can be some interpersonal variability among the pathologists, those are the ones that I have most often seen lead to trouble.
Okay. That's a really good point. And it's true, two different pathologists may interpret the same slide or, you know, the same sample differently. I've seen that in my own practice. Now,
Go ahead. Couldn't agree more.
Thank you. Now, going on about on forward on that, you know, should you get a second opinion only after a positive diagnosis or, you know, a negative? You know, how do you know? Like, how does a patient know?
So there isn't a perfect rule for this. I would say if I had a negative biopsy and I were expecting a positive biopsy, it might be worthwhile to take another look. Any surprise diagnosis is worth the consideration of a second opinion. Mm-hmm. If it's exactly what you expected the pathologist is certain about the diagnosis, that's not the case where a second look is most important. Go ahead.
And the way to find out that it's a surprise or that the pathologist feels really certain, since most patients don't necessarily talk to the pathologist, is that by talking with their primary, whatever doctor did the biopsy in the first place, whether
that's
it's their
exactly
oncologist?
Right. Either the primary care doctor or the surgeon or whomever it is that ordered the test to begin with. Hopefully, you will have discussed things ahead of time. So you had a colonoscopy. I just heard Meryl Streep talking about colonoscopy. They found a polyp, and the endoscopist says, we took out a polyp, but it didn't look like it was something worth worrying about, and the pathology comes back as cancer. That might be worthwhile taking a second look at.
Okay, that's really great. So have a conversation with your doctor, ask them about what their gut check is on this, and if they're surprised. If so, you know, should you advise people to bring it up with their doctor if they want a second opinion? You know, people worry that their doctor will be offended, but that's really not necessarily the case.
No. So as a practicing physician, I get asked about second opinions, not so often as my specialist colleagues, because I'm really a primary care doctor, but I've talked with my specialist colleagues about this, and people uniformly say that they're not offended by second opinions. So I would bring it up in a very matter-of-fact fashion, and you can even ask your doctor's advice and say, do you think I should get a second opinion about this? Doctors are people, too. They have had maybe not personal experiences, but maybe they have, or maybe they have had friends or family members get a similar diagnosis, and they will usually recommend a second opinion. So I think that you shouldn't worry so much about getting a second opinion. I do advocate being honest with your doctor and not going behind their back to get a second opinion, because that can cause problems later on.
I was just about to say that, because if you work with them, it actually can be more helpful. They can give you recommendations for somebody to go see a second opinion. And often some specialists will be able to kind of share their records with that doctor. If it's a doctor that they know, they can send some more background. So instead of getting a second opinion in isolation, you're really giving them the full context.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's really great. So if you want to find a doctor for a second opinion, I would say the number one place is to go to your doctor in the first place and ask them who they recommend.
Now, that's either your primary care doctor or the specialist that you're dealing with.
Okay.
Or both.
All right. Now, that's a very good point. You can have multiple options. Now, what do you do if your doctor... So say you got your first opinion and your second opinion, and they disagree entirely. What do you do then?
Well, now you have two options. Either you have your own gut feeling about which of those two specialists you have the most faith in. Perhaps the first person was just a regular guy, and then you went to a tertiary teaching hospital who has the world's expert in this subject, and they've carefully reviewed all of your pathology and all of your imaging, and it said, after spending a lot of time with this, I think the first doctor was wrong and you have this. That would be a powerful reason for me to choose doctor number two. Mm-hmm. But if they are saying two different things and you don't really have a good feeling about either of them being a definitive authority, then you could even think about getting a third opinion, particularly, again, when the stakes are high. So one doctor says you've got cancer and you need chemotherapy, and the other doctor says, no, you have something that looks like cancer but isn't cancer, and you don't need to do anything. So that's the time where you have to say, all right, now I really need the definitive person on this, and it might be worthwhile even getting out of town to try to find somebody with higher levels of expertise.
Right. So for that third opinion, if you haven't done it for the second, is really when you want to go to one of the top institutions. And it's also worth noting that a lot of those institutions have easy ways for patients to send things for second opinions. So they can do it initially electronically. It's a really good thing for people to check out. Lastly, I just want to ask, do you have any idea if insurers are going to pay for these second and third opinions?
Insurers usually do. I very seldom have people come back to me and say that they have trouble getting a second opinion paid for.
Well, that's good. So they understand that the value of it as well?
Yep. Just one thing I wanted to add to the previous point, and that is that although some of the information can be carried electronically, oftentimes the pathology slides need to be carried in person by the patient from one specialist to another.
That's true. So they can maybe get a start on it and get the introduction to the clinic, get their appointment set up, but then they need to physically carry it. And of course, the specialist will at some point want to see them in person.
Yes.
All right. Keith and Dr. Roach, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, this was great information. I know people have a lot of questions about, you know, the value of second opinion and when it's worth to do it. So I hope everyone, this was very helpful. Again, remember, you can find this on Radio MD, iHeartRadio, and podcasts. And you can find that all at ShareCare.com as well. This is Dr. Daria. You're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.